This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful day it is here in Nashville, and a joy to welcome all of you into this time of worship together. Whether you're joining us over live stream or here in the sanctuary, it's a privilege to be with you this morning. I'm especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting with us. We hope that you feel welcome, that you feel the Spirit of Christ in this place. And if you are visiting with us this morning, we would invite you to come after the service into Reed Hall, which is just out this way. We have donuts, by the way, for everybody. And there's also a welcome desk where you can pick up a little gift for you today. And we appreciate your presence among us. I would invite everyone to take a moment to register your attendance. There are registration pads at the end of each row. And if you're worshiping online, there's a link you can put in your browser to register that way. If you are visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, we would love to be in conversation with you about that. So I invite you to share an email address, a mailing address, or a phone number, and give us an opportunity to begin that conversation with you. If you are a college student, a graduate student, you're invited to lunch after this service. The group will gather in the back of the sanctuary, what we call the narthex, and we'll walk somewhere close by to share lunch together. It's the church's treat. Later this afternoon at 2 o'clock, I would invite you to come to, can you all hear me okay? Okay, just want to make sure I saw them. Invited to come to Gordon Memorial United Methodist Church, which is just about a mile and a half this way, where several of us local congregations will be sharing in a service of thanksgiving and celebration of beloved community. It promises to be a wonderful service to start off our Thanksgiving week, so I hope you'll join us there. 2 o'clock, Gordon Memorial United Methodist. I want to give a heads up to our youth and your parents. Next Sunday, the youth gathering will take place off-site. It will be a bonfire from 5 to 7 at the Barnes Creekmore home. Your parents are welcome. Friends are welcome. Bring a camp chair to gather around the bonfire. If you need the address, send an email to Emily Robbins, our youth minister, and she will let you know where to go. The week after that, December 3rd, is the first Sunday of Advent, and we begin that traditionally with an Advent workshop at 4 o'clock that afternoon, where we'll make our Advent wreaths that we can then take home so that we can light each candle of the Advent wreath throughout the season of Advent. So be on the lookout for an Advent brochure coming with all the good things that are happening in that season. But we have another season that is coming to a close now together as a congregation. We have been reading the Bible together since January. We started in Genesis, and today we arrive in the book of Revelation. So we'll be looking at Revelation this week and next week. And I invite you now to open your hearts and minds to this ancient, mysterious, wild ride of a book and see what it might have to say to us today as we gather for worship.
Thank you. please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Everlasting God, you have revealed yourself to your saints throughout history. May we be attentive to their words and seek to be changed by them. You also make known to each of us today in ways that celebrate your creative work. May our hearts be as moldable as clay as we join together in worship, as we lift up words, song, and prayers, may we become more like you. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. God of the past, present, and future, today we acknowledge our limited understanding of your world. We recognize where we have failed to trust you as the author and sustainer of all life. Forgive us for giving into temptation of self-reliance and not recognizing the grace you offer us daily. Help us to recognize the gift that is you, a gift freely given that offers us life to the fullest. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our lesson from the New Testament, the book of Revelation. I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the persecution and the kingdom and the patient endurance, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, "Write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea." Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white as wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun, shining with full force. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Now write what you have seen, what is, and what is to take place after this." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
I'll invite all the grown-ups to be seated for just a moment. And any children who are here want to come join me up here on the steps. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens. Welcome. So glad to see you all. Thank y'all for singing this morning. Sounded great. And for coming up for this. Appreciate it. Welcome, welcome. Hope y'all are excited about Thanksgiving, eating a lot of good food and being with people we love. Come on up. Yeah. That sounds like fun. Wow, going to Illinois. All right, well, when I was about your age, not so much your age, but your age, I learned a song in church. I don't know if I learned it in Sunday school or vacation Bible school, but I bet y'all know it, and I know some of you know it. He's got the whole world. You might know that one? Okay, if you know it, whoever you are, sing it with me, okay? Okay, choir up there. Ready? If you know its emotions, we can do it too. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Oh, that sounded so good, everybody. Yay, thank you for singing. I love stretching out as wide as I can because I think about how God holds everything, all of us, the whole planet Earth, all the animals and trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, all the planets, all the universe. God holds in a big loving hug. That's what that song makes me think of. Well, Mr. Brandon just read a few verses from the Bible, from the very last book of the Bible. And it was written by a man named John, and he had a dream, he had a vision of Jesus standing with his arms like this. And he said, Jesus said to John, I am the first and the last. I am the A and the Z. I am the beginning and the end. And that just made me think about how God in Jesus holds out his arms wide and just loves the whole world and all of us. So sometimes we have hard times, bad things happen to us, we skin our knee or somebody gets in trouble or life isn't always easy. But when things happen to us and we get sad or upset or we'd like things to be different, I think we can remember that God holds the whole world. God's got us and everything's going to be okay. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this picture in the book of Revelation of Jesus with his arms wide open. It reminds us of how much you love us and how you hold us and the whole world in your loving arms. And that no matter what happens, there's nothing that will ever change how much you love us. And so we thank you. And this week, as we get ready for Thanksgiving, our first thing that we are thankful for is you and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Miss Emily, and the rest of us can go back and sit with parents and friends. I was going to tell the kids I have a frog in my throat, but I thought that might confuse them, so I have a little frog in my throat this morning. It was a little bit of a challenge to think about how to talk with the children from the book of Revelation. A little bit of a challenge. We'll have it again next week because we'll still be in Revelation next week. But this last book of the Bible that we come to as we bring to an end this journey we've been on together since January, reading through the Bible, is a challenge. I have a good friend who is a professor of religion in the college setting, and this semester she's teaching a survey of the New Testament. And I told her that I was preaching on Revelation this week and next week, And she said, I'm so glad that Revelation comes at the end of the Bible, at the end of the New Testament, because, you know, usually by the end of the semester, we're falling behind anyway, and darn the luck, we just don't have time to deal with Revelation this time. That's the way that many of us have approached Revelation. We just don't teach about it. We don't preach about it very often because, let's face it, it's a strange book. It is very hard for us to understand. There's all sorts of imagery and numerology and the violence that just don't resonate with many of us in our understanding of who God is, of who we've come to know through the person, the teaching, the life, the compassion, the healing, the death and resurrection of Jesus. It can be a challenge to make sense of what we see in Revelation. And so the temptation is just to avoid it, just not to read it. In fact, there were many early Christians who thought it shouldn't be included in the Bible at all. When the Christian community was having these conversations about what books should be in and which ones should be left out of the New Testament, there were many who argued, let's leave Revelation out. In fact, I think Martin Luther wanted to go and throw it in the river. So from the earliest days, it's been a hard book for Christians to wrap our brains around. But it is in the scriptures. Our ancestors in the faith did come to the consensus that it did need to be included. And so we have it before us today, and we open it up to see if there is something in this strange, wild ride of a book that can speak into our lives. One of the things that has helped me to make sense of Revelation is to recognize what it is and what it isn't. Revelation, I don't believe, is not... Wait, that's too many negatives. I believe that Revelation is not meant to be a prediction of the future. It's not written to be a formula for how the world is going to come to an end whenever that happens. That's how it's been used for much of its history. How many times over the centuries has someone said the world is going to end on May 21st, 2014, or whatever it is, and used the book of Revelation as an example? I also think it's not meant to scare us. It has been used so often to try and scare people into faith. All these images of God's wrath and God's judgment, you better get your life together or you're going to be on the wrong side of God when the time comes. And so it's a book that is a little scary for many of us. But I don't think that's what it's meant to be. It's helpful to know what kind of writing it is, to whom it was written, at what moment in history, and perhaps why it was written. The book of Revelation is a genre of literature called apocalypse. Literally means unveiling. We see some examples of apocalypse in the scriptures, in the book of Daniel, a few places in the Gospels, Mark and Matthew, and certainly throughout the book of Revelation. And it's that kind of writing that feels so strange and dramatic to us, but it's meant to be not a prediction of the future, but a truth-telling about the current moment of the writer. There's a lot of coded imagery and language in Revelation that is meant for that particular audience living in a particular moment. So who were these folks, and what was their moment in history? These were a group of early Christians who were living under the thumb of the Roman Empire. Now, if we widen the context a little bit, in 70 AD, 70 CE, there was a Jewish rebellion in Judea against Rome. And Rome came in and crushed the Judeans. They sacked the city of Jerusalem. They tore down the temple. It has never been rebuilt since then. And their way of life, their way of worship, everything they knew, their whole world, it seemed, had come to an end. And the early Christian movement was an outgrowth of the Jewish movement. And from Rome's perspective, they didn't always differentiate between the Jews and the Christians. They just thought the Jesus followers were a peculiar sect of the Jews. But this is a massive oppression of both the early Jews and the early Christians. and the Christians living in Rome were subject to persecution. It depended on who the emperor was and how that emperor wanted to deal with them, but they were often put to death because of their beliefs. We know that John of Patmos, whoever he was, who wrote the book of Revelation, was on the island of Patmos because of his belief in Jesus, that perhaps he was exiled or being punished because he was a Christian. And so they're living in this time of great oppression against the vast Roman Empire with a huge army. And so there was very little hope that they could overturn the Roman Empire. But John has this vision and writes to them in this coded language full of imagery as a way of whispering to them, Rome will fall. It may look like Rome has all the power, but remember who you are. Remember that we worship a God who is made known to us in Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, who was and is and shall be forevermore. One day Rome is going to get it in the end, but Christ will still stand. So hold on to your faith. Do not lose hope. So when we see these strange images of the horsemen of the apocalypse and the whore of Babylon and all that, when he says Babylon, he means Rome. He's talking about Rome. And the people who heard these words when they came to worship would understand what he was saying. So it is meant to be a word of hope, to hang on during these troubled times to a people who are being severely oppressed. So the question is this book for us at all? We are living in a very different time. We're not suffering the same kind of severe oppression that the early Christians would have been suffering in the Roman Empire. Does this book have something to say to us, even though it was talking to them back then about Rome? Well, I wouldn't be standing up here preaching if I didn't think it had something to say to us. I mentioned that when Jerusalem fell, it must have felt to the Jews and early Christians like the world had come to an end. Maybe you felt that way before. The world's coming to an end. We can feel that way in our personal lives when someone we love dies. When we get that call from the doctor's office saying, your test results are back, I need you to come in on Monday. When we walk into the office only to find our things packed and our boss telling us that there's been a reorganization. When the person we've loved and thought we were spending the rest of our lives with comes and tells us they want to leave the relationship. It can feel like the world is coming to an end in so many different ways in our lives. And I imagine most of us have faced a season like that. It can feel like that collectively. I was talking this week with some people about a global pandemic? Really? We lived through that. This time, we were all in our houses. We were all wearing masks everywhere. The sanctuary was empty for months. It felt like the world as we knew it was coming to an end. And then there are all these other experiences we have in our shared life together. A mass shooting in one of our schools in Nashville, the climate change and climate disasters, a war in Israel and Palestine that we see on the news every day and we don't know how to pray about it, the war in Ukraine, all of these things. And people are wanting to say, including many of us, is it the end times? Is the world coming to an end? And it's hardly a comfort to know that people have felt that in every age and every time. So perhaps we can identify a little bit with that feeling, like the world is out of control. Perhaps we can identify with that fear and anxiety that those early Christians must have been feeling. And so we're invited by John of Patmos into this vision that he's given, in which the risen Christ, the cosmic Christ, As Father Richard Rohr would say, the universal Christ comes to him on the island of Patmos. And he says, I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. It's as I shared with the children, I hear in these words of the Christ that God's got this. God has got all time, all history, all moments in God's hands. We're all being held by God. It doesn't mean that God is orchestrating every event that happens in our lives or in history. We're not puppets. But that no matter what happens in our lives and in our world, God has us. As we proclaim nearly every Sunday, God is with us. We are not alone. And we've seen throughout the scriptures that the presence of the Christ is at the very moment of creation and is with us to the end of the age. And this is our hope, that whatever is causing our suffering or suffering in the world will pass, will not last. But God's love and God's hold on us and all creation will never pass. Another piece of hope I see in this moment in the first chapter of Revelation comes when John falls on his knees. He sees this shining Christ before him with the bronze feet and the face shining like the full rays of the sun. And he falls on his knees because that's what we do in the face of such glory and purity. And this Christ comes to him and places a hand on his shoulder and says, "Do not be afraid." How many times have we heard that over the course of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation? How many times has God or the messenger of God said to God's people, "Do not be afraid"? Yes, there is much in this life that scares us. The Roman Empire was frightening. There's much in our world that would cause us anxiety. But the risen Christ says to the people of God, "There is no reason for you to fear, for I am with you." And so we are invited instead to a different response, to the glory revealed to us in Revelation, to the truth of God's constant presence with us revealed in Revelation. What is that invitation? To live the life we've been called to live, no matter the times. The risen Christ says to John, "Write this down. Be part of the story that I'm telling." And we too are invited to be part of the story that God is writing even now, part of the healing, reconciling work of love and justice that God is doing in our moment in history, right here, right now. And as we look across the whole of Scripture, we know what we're called to do. Prophet Micah says, "What does the Lord require of you? God has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does God require but that you do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with God?" Jesus said the greatest commandment, "Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." We know what to do. And so let us go forward from this magnificent vision in Revelation, trusting that no matter what, God's got us. God is with us, and though there are many mysteries we have yet to understand, we know what we're called to do, and there is never any reason for us to be afraid. Thanks be to God.
Word we just heard, I invite us all to please stand and join together in our affirmation of faith found in your bulletin or on page 883 in your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you please be seated? As we come to our time of prayer, I want to invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to be prayed for throughout the week, you can fill out the gray cards in your pew rack in front of you and place those in the offering plate. If you're worshiping online with us, I invite you to click on the Contact Us on our website and let us know how we can pray for you. Please take note of the prayer requests listed in your bulletin and keep these names and situations in your heart throughout the week. We want to lift up especially our sympathies to the family of Clay Ferguson in the death of Clay's partner and our church member, Keith McCabe, on November 11th. A service of remembrance will take place at a later date. And then we want to lift up Daryl Watson and family after the passing of Daryl's father yesterday. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. To you, Jesus, I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Lord, today we recognize who you are. You are the creator and sustainer, the author of all life, and the one who brings restoration and wholeness to all of your creation. We give thanks for your never-ending grace that offers yourself to us as the source of a full life that goes on into eternity. We acknowledge our limited sight and understanding, but recognize that you seek to pour your whole self into us. Your desire is that we be continually formed into your likeness, living an eternity of experiencing your glory in this world and in the world to come. As we gather today, our hearts are warmed by your presence and our lives are forever changed. May all that we offer in worship to you draw us closer to you and cause your light to shine all the brighter through our lives. May those around us see a glimpse of your love and mercy as we interact with them. May they be drawn to you in a way that opens their eyes to your acceptance and love of who they are. As we thank you today, Lord, we desire to offer all of ourselves to you. We trust you today as we open our hearts to you by sharing in word and silence the parts of our lives that keep us awake at night and cause us to question, as well as those things that help us to sleep soundly. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks, Lord, for your hearing us today and each and every day, for always being attentive to us, for wooing us to you and allowing us to release the grip we have on our life that we hold with tiring and sore hands. We seek to trust in your grace today. And it's with that trust that we now pray in unity the words you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now offer our gifts together back to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online, I encourage you to give through the screen, The options listed on the screen. While here, we will pass the offering plates. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to each one of us. Please be seated. One of the great joys I have in being a part of this community is getting to walk alongside people as they decide to make West End their home. We recently finished up our fall membership class and had about 15 people in that class, and today we're having three more join us as part of our class, and two of them are already well involved in the congregation. I'll introduce you first to Melissa Robertson. She is transferring her membership from our sister congregation, Brentwood United Methodist. She's a software engineer who loves to sing, as you can see. In April, she and her husband, Stephen, will welcome baby Robertson into the world. Garrett and Ellen were married in March and have been connected with West End for some time. As you can see, Ellen has already jumped into our choir ministry. Garrett is an attorney with the state of Tennessee, and Ellen is a nonprofit education coordinator. They love outdoor adventures and are proud parents of two dogs and a cat. We are so thankful for what God has already done within your life, and we are thankful to see what it is that God will continue to do in your life as you're part of West End, what we get to experience of God through you, and what we get to share with you of our walk with God. So this first question is for Ellen and Garrett. As member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And to all three of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Awesome. And would you please stand, the rest of us, please stand as we welcome our newest members. Turn to your bulletins, please. Family of God, Melissa, Garrett, and Ellen are now entrusting to you. Are entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite each of y'all to come into Reed Hall to meet our three newest members. We also have donuts in there, so further incentive to come and hang out. But please come and introduce yourself to them and welcome them into our family here at West End. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
As we go from this time of worship, let us remember that no matter what is happening in our lives or in our world, the good news is that God's got you. And with that assurance, we can go forth from this place in peace and joy to be God's people. Amen.